So, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, Max Egan is joining us on the line. Max, welcome.
Hey, Chris. Hi, Sheree.
Hey, how's
it Max.
Going?
Thank you very much for being so patient. But we were discussing with Clint Richardson the banking system and the entire fraud that's been perpetrated on the people. I know here prices of everything are just skyrocketing. And ultimately, the dollar, any kind of currency, is all just an illusion. But it's hard to convince the people at the grocery store and the landlord that that's actually the case. They still demand their money at the end of the month or whenever, you know. So any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it is an illusionary system, but, I mean, it's designed to implode the way it's going. I mean, people obviously need something to pass around to each other to perform commerce, which is really all money should be. But people need to ask themselves why everything goes up so much, why it gets harder and harder and harder to ever have enough money to survive. And, yeah, that's the question they need to be asking themselves, and that's because of the nature of the monetary system. So that's what we need to look at, because that's the system that keeps everybody on the treadmill, keeps everybody running, keeps everybody distracted, keeps everybody enslaved to a system of perpetual debt, whereby you've got to pay to be alive, and the debt just increases. And the more debt you get, the more it increases. Because the money that you need to pay off the debt is interest-bearing. I mean, it's just this vicious circle. But, I mean, ultimately where money comes from is the big question as well, because people think banks create money from thin air, but really they don't. All they do is they issue paper for you to use. It's actually the people that create the money. We create the money ourselves when we go into the bank and take out a loan. They just type that into our account, then they give us their paper to use. But we actually created it. It didn't exist on their books until we went in and signed our name. And then that signature is what created the money. So that's another myth involved with the monetary system, that banks create money out of thin air. They don't. They print enough paper to cover the money that we, the people, create. And they make us use their paper. And that's where the debt comes from.
7% of our economy is paper money. And that's, I would say that's a very liberal figure, a very I don't even think it's 7%, but most of it is just computer digits now.
Yeah, well, that's the, I mean, it doesn't, none of it exists. It's not real. It's just a medium we use for trade, and that's all it's about. And see, they've even eliminated the paper through the internet and through this digital society. They don't even have to print the paper anymore. They can just enslave you to numbers on a screen that you create yourself. You create yourself when you take out a loan. They don't create the money from thin air. They create the digits that we now use, or the paper that we used to use.
Well,
it's the people that create the money. That's a big myth. That's something that people really need to get their heads around. The fact that the banks don't actually create anything. They just monopolize the use of the currency, but they don't actually create the money. The people create the money themselves.
Right. That's exactly what Clint said. Sweden has gone completely digital. They're boasting that there's very little cash transactions anymore.
Yeah, well, this is where it's all heading. They don't want cash transactions because cash transactions free the people. You can't track what people do when it's a cash transaction. Now, if you want to sell me a secondhand car or whatever and it's a cash transaction, the government can't tax that, and they can't tax the sale. They can't track what you're doing with your money and track everything you buy and everything you eat and make sure you're doing what they call the right thing. You know, it's all about control, and it's all about tracking people's movements. That's what digital money is all about.
Right. No, I couldn't agree more. Where do you see our economy heading, the world economy, every nation? I mean, do you see this global system being implemented anytime soon? Because we've been talking about this for 15 years now, as far as I can remember. Not us, of course, but, I mean, we as in the truth movement, for lack of a better term, or the aware. But it doesn't seem like they've brought in the Amero or anything that they've planned besides the euro. And now it looks like they're even crashing the euro.
Well, the euro was designed to milk all the wealth of all of the countries in Europe and get them all in debt to the IMF. That's basically what that was designed to do. So they do this with every currency. And it takes a while. I mean, it's a big world. It takes a long time to get the whole entire globe enslaved to the IMF and in debt to the IMF.
Fatten the hog.
Well, absolutely. It's a long, slow process. You know, I see a lot of people that are saying, oh, it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen next year. It's just crying wolf. You know, we don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, they'll prop it up with wars as much as they can because, see, the thing is, like I said, people don't realize where the money comes from. The money comes from the people. And money will continue to be created as long as people take out loans. So if the government's taking out lots of loans for war, it's creating lots of money. You know what I'm saying? If people take out lots of loans to buy houses and then loans to pay off the bills to their houses and loans to buy cars and all this stuff, that's them creating the money. So the money will continue to be created as long as people are creating money. You see what I mean? The problem is the actual type of economy we've got in place. It's an economy based on interest-bearing debt, the whole thing. Now, we take out loans and there's always interest on the loan, so we've got to create more money to pay off the interest on the money we created. And the banks sort of trick us and they swindle everybody into laundering all the money that we, the people, create back into their possession. And by this, they take control of what is real in the world, the real estate. Because the money is just a fictional estate, but the real estate, the resources, the property, the earth itself, that's what we're doing. We, the people who own the earth, it is our earth, the mankind's earth. We are transferring all that is real on this earth into the hands of those who control the numbers and issue the paper, because they've tricked us into signing all of the money that we create over to them. And then they enslave us. But it's an incredible system of slavery, because we create the money, so we shouldn't have any debt to anybody because we create this money ourselves. And yet they trick us into believing that they created it, and they charge us interest on the money that we created. You see what I'm saying? It's a complete scam. And the interest never exists, so we have to create that ourselves to pay back everything to the bank, and eventually we can't because it doesn't exist, and so all the real estate gets transferred into the hands of these people. That's why the banking cartels and the Vatican and this whole system is gradually taking possession of the whole world through debt. And this debt's all fictional. It's all created simply because we don't understand how the money system works. That's basically what's going on. I mean, so you can't really say when they're going to crash the economy. It'll keep going until they can con enough people into believing that it's all the way they tell us it is, and the only way we can solve it is to create a global currency. And, but if people can work out how it actually works and that they create the money themselves, then it'll never happen, you know. So they can keep people crying wolf as much as they like, and it's just obfuscation. It just prevents people from looking at the actual situation and seeing what the remedy is, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know it's complicated, eh?
No, I understand completely. It's. I'm thinking, what a world we've created for ourselves.
Well, it's incredible. I mean, the whole money system is the most misunderstood thing in the entire planet. It's the system that's used to enslave everybody. Everybody focuses their whole lives around money, but none of them know how it works. And you've got people like Mike Montagna who have been screaming out about mathematically perfected economy for 10 years, 20 years. Telling everybody, hey, here it is, guys. This is how it works. If we had an economy like this, there wouldn't be any debt. There wouldn't be any inflation. There wouldn't be any problem at all. And you know, it's just because the whole money system is the most misunderstood thing on the planet. And he's actually offered that mathematically perfected economy to every president since, like, Reagan or something. You know, and they've all said, oh, this is very interesting. We're not going to do this. You know, but that's what we need, something like that. See, the money system is just used to create scarcity as it is. And that's the mechanism that is used to keep people on the treadmill, keep them enslaved to debt, keep them enslaved to this system, and eventually transfer all the wealth of the people over to the hands of those who issue the currency or control the digits. And it gets educated out. The further we get down, each generation knows less and less about the money system. And you know, it takes a little while, but eventually people just don't know. They just assume that they have to pay to be alive, and that they got to work very, very hard to get the money to do that. Yeah, people are just going to be working harder and harder. Debt's going to go further and further through the roof, and people are still going to continue to think it's real because that's what they're educated to do.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm working twice as hard now for about half the money, but I'm doing it because that's what I need to do to survive. So you're absolutely right on that. Let me get your take on this. J.P. Morgan closes Vatican bank account. What do you think that's about?
Oh, mate, look, I wouldn't really know. I wasn't aware that J.P. Morgan actually had any dealings with the Vatican bank account. I thought that was all run by Rothschild interests, the bank, the Vatican.
They're all interconnected. They are all working together.
Yeah, I wouldn't really know what that's about, mate. Some sort of theater, because ultimately the whole banking system goes back to the Vatican.
Right.
And the whole usurious interest-based money system goes back to the Roman system.
Well, it goes back to the Templars, doesn't it? Weren't they the first banking system?
Yeah, pretty well. Yeah, pretty well. But it goes back further than the Templars. I mean, this is what Jesus was on about in the temple when he overturned the tables of the money changers. It was this whole system, you know. Right way back then, they're saying, hey, get rid of the bankers, guys. You know, get rid of the bankers. Everybody said it all through history. Get rid of the bankers. Was it Thomas Jefferson or Abe Lincoln or one of your presidents said that bankers were more dangerous to the country than armies from foreign shores? I quote something to that degree.
Give me a control of a country's money supply, and I care not who makes the laws.
Well, yeah, well, Mayor Amschel Rothschild said that, of course.
Yes, yeah.
But there was one of your presidents and says that banking system, fractional banking, central banking, is more dangerous to your country than an army coming from foreign shores. And it's absolutely true. And this is the system that is being used to enslave the entire world. Now, we go in there and we see a poor third world country. Oh, look at these guys. They're living at one with nature. They're living in grass huts and enjoying their lives. We can't have that. They need to be civilized. They need to have concrete roads. They need to be in debt to the World Bank so they can have a DVD player and a stereo and wear the latest shoes, and we can put a McDonald's in there. And then they're civilized. Then they're back with us, and we get them in debt. And because they're in debt to this interest-based system and they can't pay it, well, we strip all the resources from the country and we leave the people to rot. And it's like this cancer that eats up around the world. And people will say humankind is a cancer on the earth. It isn't humankind. It's the financial system. It's the money system that is a cancer on the earth, because it is the interest-based nature of the money system that causes humankind to rape the planet that we live on, because we believe we have to pay to be alive. And we'll never, ever have enough money to pay off the debt, no matter how many resources we take from this planet, because the system itself is designed to create more and more debt. So we can never get out of it. You know, the politicians will strip mine the planet till it looks like the moon, and then they'll think we've got to find another planet somewhere in the universe to exploit, because we still need to pay off our bill to the bank. You know, that's just the way their brains work, and you can't even blame half of them for it. They're just misguided. They think the economy is real.
Well, you mentioned earlier theater, and speaking about strip mining, Kony 2012, what are your thoughts?
Well, we talked about this last time I was on the show, actually. I mean, great distraction while Obama brought in Bill H.R. 347, you might notice.
Yes, but...
And it's also opened the, you know, it's paved the way for invading any country they like in Africa, as long as it's for humanitarian reasons.
That means that if anybody's getting killed by anybody over there.
Yeah, we can send in the army, we can go in and we can help the people. If civilians are in danger, we're going to go in and help them, which means we're going to put armed forces anywhere in Africa that we see a conflict. And it gives them access to all the resources, what there is left in Africa. I mean, Africa's already been raped so much. The people of Africa have been so downtrodden. And it's, you know, incredibly sad what's happened to Africa.
Are you aware that they have had some significant events going on in Uganda lately? The leader, Museveni, is a brutal dictator. And they even have a bill called the Kill the Gays Bill.
Oh, lovely.
Basically, he's just going to go around and find gay people and kill them, or okay, put them in prison for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's really going to help the world situation. That's yeah.
Well, if you look into Rick Santorum and all these other religious types in the Republican Party, they are all like really connected to this whole Kony 2012 and this. Even it goes as far as even the guy that had this breakdown recently was giving speeches at the same place that Bachman and Perry and all these other people are giving speeches. And it's just amazing how much infiltration there is, and how we're already over there. We're already strip mining. We didn't even wait for the military. We got over there and we've already messed it up in a big way. We've really, really messed up their society.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look way back what happened to Ethiopia and its dealings with America, which is what created the wasteland that we saw for so many years with all the starving children, all those ads to help the children in Ethiopia back 20 or 30 years ago. This is all created by Western corporations that went in there and exploited the country. So, yeah, we've already done an incredible lot of damage to the country. But what they're doing now is they're legitimizing it. They're saying it's okay to go in there as long as you're helping the children. You know, it's a complete scam, and there's been all this stuff happen, like Bill H.R. 347, and there was the other bill, the Protection Act that Obama put through as well, that basically gave them the right to commandeer all crops and all food and basically everybody's skills, you know.
Well, tell us how you feel about that. We would really like to hear more about that.
Well, I mean, this is what they do in wartime. Like in wartime, it doesn't matter what your skill is, if the government needs you for the war effort, then now you're working for the government because the government is in wartime. Okay, so if you're running a farm and you're growing organic vegetables and suddenly the government decides they need you to plant corn because they need biofuel to run their tanks, then okay, now you're growing corn. And if you've got a, if your partner happens to be a carpenter, well now, you know, we might need him to go and build army barracks, so you're going to come and do that. So this is what happens in wartime, and what he's done with this bill is he's made it possible for him to do that during peacetime. So basically, the government can now come and commandeer anybody for anything they want. Okay? So it's exactly the same as if, you know, the country's at war. So perhaps, you know, the government, just anybody, whatever skill you've got, or whatever they want to use your land for, whatever they want to use your equipment for, they can do that now with this new bill that Obama brought in. And then what he's done with the, with Bill H.R. 347 is he has made it possible that anybody who protests any of this action, you know, if there's secret police there, if there's politicians there, anywhere the secret police are on duty, anybody who creates any disturbance at all can go to jail for a year, straight up. You know, a year. That's what he's done with Bill H.R. 347. It basically makes free speech a felony. If
right.
you are performing free speech or creating any type of disturbance in an area where the secret police have been put there to protect anybody, wherever they've been deployed, if the secret police are there, and like say Mitt Romney's up there having a speech, and you go, get off, Mitt, you know, whatever, you create some sort of a disturbance, you can be jailed for a year for creating any type of disturbance anywhere near an area where the secret police have been deployed. Okay.
Sure, he's looking her. Eyes right now and on her face that she can't believe this.
Bill, yeah. H.R. 347, this was signed into law, I think, last Thursday. Now, when you couple that with the National Defense Resources Preparedness Act, which is basically, like I said, peacetime martial law, it enables the government to be able to do anything they want, commandeer anybody they want for any reason they want. This is what's been brought in since people have been waving the Coney flag. A couple of weeks ago, I said to people, while your right hand is waving the Coney flag, just pay attention to whatever the left hand does. And this is what the left hand has done while all this Coney stuff's been going on. Then you look at the IUCN. Have you heard of that? The IUCN
No.
It's like a G20 or something meeting that's going on in Brazil very, very soon. And it's basically Agenda 21 on steroids. It's, basically UN control of all environmental objectives and stuff as well. We've got a link to that on the Crow House. You want to go and look at that and see, you know, it all talks about wonderful things like eradicating poverty and all this sorts of stuff and harmonization methods and, you know, all this sort of stuff around the earth. But it's basically just putting all the environmental resources of the planet in control of the UN is what it's all about. It's Agenda 21 on steroids. So there's all sorts of stuff going on at the moment while people are sort of running around waving this Coney flag. And all the Ugandans are saying, this is all rubbish. Coney hasn't been here for 6 years. We've got a president who's a brutal dictator who's US-backed, and we don't really want the US coming into our country, thank you. You know? So you've really got to look at the whole Coney thing. Brilliant advertising. Whatever they did to get it to go that viral, I mean, we all need to learn how to do that, but I would suggest that it wouldn't have done that without some pretty significant help from Google and a few people like this.
Oh, I
know
agree.
Exactly.
I
know exactly who did it. You know, it's have you ever heard of the Family Foundation?
The Family Foundation. No, I haven't heard of that one.
Christian Foundation or Jeff Charlotte wrote a book about it, and it's called The Family. And it's basically a society of gentlemen who are all, you know, diehard Christians that like to talk about their heroes such as Hitler. They say Hitler was a hero because he was able to rally people, in an effective way. And so they like to model themselves as like Jesus and Hitler at the same time. And, basically they started this whole thing with, in Uganda, the whole kill the gays thing. And that's been totally exposed. And then now you have this guy who is from that whole group of religious right, and he makes this video. He made this video several years ago. He was doing showings of it at missionary training centers around the U.S. since 2009. So this isn't new. This whole thing isn't new. And what, I don't know what made it hit 42 million views in like 3 days. I have no idea, but I know who started it. So, but it really irritated me. Even the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, this is not a good guy.
Well, I mean, it's a great lesson to humanity that they can unite.
Yes.
That's the one good thing about it.
Yeah.
It does show to people that we are capable of all standing together on an issue.
Pretty, yeah.
You know? But we've got to look at what that issue is, you know. And too many people are taken in by the children, you know. All you've got to do is put some good-looking kids in there and tell the people these kids are downtrodden. And suddenly everybody wants to be part of saving the kids. It's a very, very tried and true method, and that was very much done in the Kony video. I mean, look at Burma. Look what's been going on in Burma for the last 60 years. You know, if we're so much about human rights, why haven't we gone and fixed that?
Right.
You know? There's so many things going on this planet that need addressing, and 90% of them are because of this monetary system, and all of these things are just to distract people. Make, you know, legitimize military action in any country they want in Africa. We can just put advisors in there. Yeah, right, we can send the Secret Service in there with guns. Anybody. It's to protect the children, you know. When has the U.S. ever done anything to protect the children? Look what it did to Iraq. 500,000 children dead in 10 years from sanctions. And that's just the children under five. They didn't count children that were over five. So how many children really died from those U.N. sanctions in Iraq in 10 years? And yet you can rally the world by showing them a beautiful African kid and saying, oh, look, 30,000 children have been kidnapped in 26 years.
And that's really an outrage. Yep.
Yeah, that's really bad. That's really bad that that's happening. But there's no guarantee that it was Kony who took them all for a start. I mean, he's not there now doing anything there now, so it's completely out of date. And what about the, you know, 10 times that or 20 times that died in 10 years because of the actions of our governments? What about that? Why don't we address that? Why don't we address what's going on in Burma? Why don't we address the entire country, the entire world, being enslaved to a money system based on interest-bearing debt that's perpetuated by the criminals that we have running our governments? Why don't we address that? Why can't we rally for that issue? Why can't we stop worrying whether someone is black or white or gay or goth or a bikie or whatever, or, you know, whatever social or racial window we put them in? Why can't we forget about all that and just be people and unite for a common issue, which is to save the direction humanity's going in and save our planet and save our Earth? You know, all of these issues that we focus on, they're just little rabbit holes that lead nowhere. You know, but the one thing about that video is it shows that we can unite. So let's just unite for the right cause. That's what I say.
I completely agree with you. But I've got to ask you this, and I've asked you this before, but I'm wondering if your answer has changed or your opinion has changed. But what the hell are they gearing up for? Because they've got their bunkers. Now they've got the Freedom of Speech Act. They've got the NDAA. They've got the FEMA camps. Some people would say that they're gearing up for some kind of natural disaster and they want to try to keep order after this.
Well, it could be that. It could be that they're just going to create a natural disaster. I mean, that recent earthquake in Mexico looks very, very sus. Yeah, I mean, it could be they're just gearing up for something, or it could be that they're just slowly introducing all of this stuff. See, they introduce these things and they don't use them straight away. You know what I mean? They're there. They make sure that they're there. They've got all the FEMA camps in place. Now they've got anything to say. Anybody who even questions what we do, we can arrest you. We can put you in jail for a year. This, you know, this is probably a direct result of the Occupy movement. So that means that everybody who attended the Occupy movement, if the secret police, all the secret police have to do is walk down there. You know, oh no, the secret police have been deployed. So you're all under arrest. You know, you're all under arrest. You're all going to FEMA camps because we've got this bill in place and you're all creating a disturbance. And the secret police are here. We've sent the secret police down to protect, that guy over there. You know, it doesn't matter who. Anybody we name, you know. Oh, there's a disturbance. Quick, deploy the secret police. So it completely eviscerates what's left of the First Amendment. I mean, if there was anything left of it. And the one good thing about it is it might rally the troops. It might cause the American people to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, this is, you're removing free speech, then you've removed America. There is no America without free speech. America was founded on free speech. It's the whole basis of the American system, that the spirit of America is free speech. How can you take this away and still have America? So America's gone, folks. Bye-bye. It used to be there, but it's gone now, and it's going to continue gone until the people decide that they want it back and realize that all this is fiction. And you know, you've got to question the police. Why haven't they gone and arrested the politicians that did this? Because this is exactly what the Constitution warns you about, that you're going to have to deal with domestic enemies who are going to subvert the Constitution. And it's your duty to deal with these situations when they happen. And that's what's going on. I mean, to put it bluntly, that's what's going on.
Right. And we let it happen because of the fear of 9/11. Started with the Patriot Act, then we had free speech zones, and here we are.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's absolutely right. Absurd. But, I mean, it's all been done by design. And it's because it's been done in gradual increments, the people have just said, oh, well, it's got to be okay because of 9/11. Gee, we don't want 9/11 to happen again. Problem, reaction, solution. I mean, just look at the United States now, and there should be no doubt in anybody's minds that 9/11 was staged, because look at what's happened to the United States as a result of it. You know, you've got to look at history, folks. I mean, look at the Reichstag fire. Look what happened in Germany. It's exactly the same thing. And it's been run by the same people, basically, the same banking cartels, the Vatican, the whole lot. You know, it's just this tried and true method. They do it all the time.
That's why it's called Homeland Security. These are all Nazi terms.
Absolutely. It was Fatherland Security in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The world that we have created is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Max Egan is even amazinger, though, with all the information that he shared with us, thecrowhouse.com. And what are you working on now? How's the film coming along?
Film's coming along very well, actually. It's nearly finished. A couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks away. I'm basically doing some artwork for the cover at the moment. And I've just got to sort of go through and tweak a few things, add a little bit of footage to the end, and it should be out within the next 2 or 3 weeks. Then it'll be available for download from thecrowhouse.com probably around about mid-May, something like that. So, but it'll be on YouTube in 2 or 3 weeks. Be interesting to see how it's received, because it's very different to the other ones. It's not quite as spiritually based. It's more looking at what's going on around us and trying to offer solutions for that. So I think it's going to be a pretty interesting year, Chris, and I think it's coming out in a timely manner. So be interesting to see.
Nice. Very nice. Have you done any more activism on fracking and things like that?
I haven't had time, really. I've been busy burning Chappelle Corby DVDs and getting them out. There's a lot of new information actually coming about Chappelle Corby, and I can't really share that with you at the moment, but there is another production going to be coming out soon. I'm going to be working with the people who made Expendable, and we're going to be working on another project, which will be quite a short film, probably 45 minutes to an hour, and we'll get it all concise, and we'll put this new information in there, and hopefully that will cause a real stir as well. But we want to get that out pretty quickly, so it's good that the transformation is virtually finished.
You got to get her out of there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it would be good. It would be good to not only get her out, but also expose the people who put her there and expose them for what they are.
And this isn't anything new. We just watched a show the other day. It was Locked Up Abroad, and this guy got totally set up with a bunch of hash when he was in Indonesia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What happened, supposedly, this is the story that they presented, but his fingerprints got mixed up with the person that he was with. They took the fingerprints and then put the wrong names. They let the other guy go, whose fingerprints were on these barrels that they were shipping hash in, and this guy got locked up. And the embassy came and said, hey, you know, you have a mix-up here. This isn't the right guy. And they said, well, the police aren't prepared to release you because they would look bad. They want to save face. And they convicted this person of something like 25 years, an Australian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's shocking what's going on over there, you know, and our government just doesn't do anything about it. Because, I mean, Australia, basically, if you look at it, Australia's still kind of a penal colony. It was founded as a penal colony. And so it's an interesting place. It's interesting that the power that we have or don't have in the world, you know, the power that our government doesn't seem to have to be able to get anybody released from foreign prisons. I mean, We can't even seem to get a prisoner exchange thing happening. And the government really isn't interested in exposing many of these things anyway because it makes them look bad again. Same with Chappelle Corby. They weren't interested in her being found innocent because if she was found innocent, it would have made them look bad. And that's the sole reason she was convicted, for political expediency. That was it. It was just easier to have her convicted. So, yeah, it's absolutely shocking what goes on over there. So, you know, again, I mean, I think all of it comes down to a united humanity. That's what we need. We absolutely need to unite as a people. I see all these things as opportunities. I see Bill H.R. 347 as a huge opportunity, one of the best opportunities America has ever had to see the system laid bare. Couple that with the National Defense Resources Preparedness Act, and there it is. It shows how corrupt your government is. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? Because it says in your constitution that when this happens, you're supposed to do something about it. And you can do something about it peacefully if you put down your barriers and get back into a state of empathy and connect with the people around you. So we've been taught to step away from empathy. Empathy is way down on the bottom of the list, way down on the bottom of the food chain as far as our thinking goes. Our thinking is all about acquisition. It's all about social status. It's not about empathy. You know, and empathy is the interface. Empathy is the key to the whole thing. If we approached everybody from a state of empathy, there wouldn't be any problem. You know, we would have this united community that the world would not be in the state that it's in. You know, empathy is the key to the whole thing. See, people have forgotten to speak with their heart. That's what they're missing. They're not speaking with their heart anymore. I mean, I've done whole films about this, Chris. The awakening, you know. People have forgotten that language. And that's what we need to get back to. And we can do this globally. Put down all the barriers about race and creed and sexuality and whatever you find is a problem with other people, put it away. Every person's valid. Every person has a valid perspective of reality. So see them as valid, because that's something that's been taken away from people. We've all lost our validity. We've been squashed down by this system. And most people want to be validated. They want their voice to be heard. They want to be seen as somebody who's worth having in the world. You know, I want someone to know that I exist and to appreciate that I exist. And all I want to do is to be able to appreciate other people. That's the way most people feel inside. And that's what's been taken away from them. So we need to get that back and realize that it's across the board. It doesn't matter what anybody looks like or what their orientation is or what country they come from or what their social standing is. You know, ultimately we're all just mankind, and that's what we need to get back, because that is what this system has taken away from us. It's enslaved us to debt. It's enslaved us to legislation, which has simply been designed to remove law from the planet and replace it with the will of politicians. It's enslaved us to a system that is not us. We're not able to be us anymore. Humanity has lost the ability to be mankind, you know, because of this system. So we need to get that back, you know, and that's how we solve everything, every single problem that we face. If we can just get that back, you know, we can change reality by simply changing our perspective of it. And that's what I've been trying to tell people for such a long time now.
It's funny that you say that. Terrence McKenna had a clip that I heard that where he said that humanity has gone so insane that they're looking for the last bit of sanity that they had. And that last bit was when we were eating mushrooms in Africa and running around in the forests. And that's why you've got the whole rave culture and all of these cultures that are taking mass amounts of psychedelic drugs, because they're trying to get back to that sanity.
Well, you know, we've lost that connection with most of reality, Chris. You know, we're locked down into this five-sense reality. There's so much going on outside the five-sense reality, and we know it's there, but we can't access it. So, you know, our whole consciousness has been squashed. We're not sane at all. This whole culture is insane. The whole culture is psychopathic, all of it. I mean, the whole system that we use to, or that we allow to run our lives, that we use to function and allow to run our lives, this whole system is psychopathic. And the most expendable thing within the system are the people. So what the hell is the system doing there? You know, all the people within the system, they come and they brutalize you, they arrest you, they put you in jail, they say, gee, I feel bad about doing this, but I have to do it, I have no choice, because it says so on this piece of paper.
Right.
You know? And they're forced to be psychopathic. So it's like a pathogen that infects them. They believe the system is real. That's like pathological thinking. It's not real. It's just an idea that someone wrote down on a piece of paper and used it to control everybody else because they taught everybody else that it was real. But it's not. It's just a meme. It's just an idea. It doesn't exist at all. what exists is humanity. And in order to support this system, we're destroying the planet that we live on, we're destroying each other, and we're just chucking humanity out the side like waste, like garbage, just to support this system and make this system more efficient. So where humanity is evolving to is a new species, which is like this system. That's where they're trying to take it. That's where human consciousness is taking itself, because we're devoid of empathy because of this system. We've got to get that empathy back in our relationships with people. Once we can do that, because empathy is the interface. Empathy is the interface with the divine, the language of the heart. You can speak the language of the heart if you have empathy to reality, empathy to the people around you, empathy to creation. You know, it all comes from there. That's that inner knowing, that knowledge that you have inside, you know, that real knowledge, you know, and not knowledge that you've learned from a book somewhere, but knowledge, knowing, connection, you know, the string between you and source, you know, that's that knowing that's inside you. We all have that in there, and we've forgotten how to speak that language. We need to get that back.
Very well said, Max. We really appreciate your time. Anything you want to leave the audience with besides that? I mean, that was pretty profound right there.
Love each other. Even love those that you hate. Don't hate anybody. Don't hate people. Even the bad guys, don't hate them, because it just creates that energy in the field. Just love these people. Love each other. Live your life in empathy, and you can change the world.
Very well said, Max. And we love you, definitely, and everybody out there, too. And I know that our show wouldn't be the same without your constant contributions, and we really, really appreciate your wisdom, Max.
Well, it's nice to come on and talk to you, Chris, and nice to talk to you too, Cherie.
Absolutely. All right, take care. Have a great rest of the day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, Max Egan, thecrowhouse.com, and amazing, amazing gentleman. And once again, thank you for waiting for us, Max. It's been a rough day, but the show must go on. I think that's what's important, because so many people tune in, so many people write emails and say, you know what, I heard exactly what I needed to hear on your last show. And that's what we hope to do in this world, just change everybody just a little bit and help them grow. And through that, we can change the world.
Good night, everyone.